And now we will have time sharing about our trip in the Wilderness Winds. The MIF will split into two canoe groups for our time out on the water, and each group has had different experiences and stories. We'll be showing some pictures of the trip in the background while we are sharing, and we'll end our sharing time with a video filmed by the other group. We're going to begin with Ben Goodelliott.
So, on our second day of canoeing, we were coming onto a lake called Kekakabik Lake, and it was incredibly windy. In terms of height of the waves, we were getting waves that were at least 18 inches tall, and we were getting white caps. So, Mags and I were canoeing along, and we ended up getting blown. Every time we would come around a curve, we would get blown back, and so we went back maybe four times. And so eventually, we ended up getting left behind the rest of the group and had to go across from that point over there all the way over to the island. Otherwise, we would have capsized, and we nearly capsized a few times. So we waited there for maybe 2 hours while the rest of the group tried to figure out where we were. But while we were there, we discovered that there was a camp of Boy Scouts on the opposite shore from us, so we could talk to them, and eventually their guide came over and offered to take one of us to get water, because we were all out of water. Eventually, John, Charlie, and our guide, Kate, ended up coming in our three-person canoe and helped us get off the island. So that was a kind of scary but exciting experience for us.
So as John said, we don't always have the best food on these trips, but while we were out there, I found two things that made this trip way better. First off, I found this little plant, and it has these perfect gum-sized leaves. So, of course, the entire trip, every time I came across this plant, I would take a few leaves, and I might munch on them. I never really ate them, and then I spit them out, and they tasted minty, and that was nice. And then we came across this island on the very day that Ben and Mags were being blown across the waters. We came across this island, and it was made out of blueberries. This entire island, just you looked around, and the ground was just covered in blueberries. So I was in kind of a trance at this point. We'd been rowing all day, and I was really tired. So I think I ate about 6 cups of these blueberries that afternoon. And eventually, I kind of came out of my trance enough that I could stop myself from immediately eating the blueberries, and then I could put them in my shirt, and then I could have more at one time. Anyway, so I got mild poisoning on this trip. It was a mixture of the blueberries and the leaves, which are actually good for tea, but mildly poisonous otherwise. So slept for about 30 hours, and that was my trip.
So my group was me, Greta, Abigail, Josh, and Zoe. And our group guide was Molly, and she was the best. She had a really awesome way of waking us up in the morning, and for me at least, she made the trip really, really fun.
Good morning, Island Poppers!
That's how she woke us up every morning.
So before the trip, we had gotten permits for each of our canoes because they're like water patrolmen who patrol the lakes, but we didn't actually think we were going to encounter any. And on our second to last day, I think some pulled up into our campsite while we were eating breakfast, and it was pretty exciting. They like checked our permits and everything was good, and we were talking to them, and we asked them about if they like get a lot of violators, and they said it's mainly just like people washing their dishes in the lakes, and we're like, oh yeah, we don't do that, haha. And then we're sitting there, and then we hear like clattering, and we look down, and Zoe's down by the lake washing her dishes from breakfast, and the patrol people didn't notice, so we were all just like nervously distracting them, trying to make sure they wouldn't notice, and eventually they left and they got up and canoed away and they didn't know. And it was just crazy because we could have gotten fined or whatever they do to you out there, so I was pretty lucky.
So, as John mentioned in children's time, there are all sorts of dangers, and some of the worst, in my opinion, being the bugs that you found. So there were lots of different battles happening, at least for me, between which kind of bug did I want to face. So the first day, we had just done a very rough portage, and the mosquitoes were awful, and I was wearing shorts, and my legs were just getting eaten alive. So I went into the lake to stand there so I could protect myself from the massive mosquitoes. And I was talking to Simon and Josh, and I was like, you know what would just really suck right now? Leeches. Well, I got out of the lake when people started coming, and I felt something slimy on the bottom of my shoe. So I took off my shoe, and there was a leech about this big on my foot, along with about 60 little baby leeches crawling all over my feet. I think I nearly cried and died all at once. It was just not a good time. And then later, I kept finding these little tiny leeches, because they're kind of like little pieces of snot, honestly. But they move. It's like a nightmare. And so I found one for the next hour, picking them out of my toes, and that was easily the worst part of the trip, but apparently they can't actually hurt you, but they're just nasty things.
So I'm also going to talk about the day Ben and Mags almost died. So once we got them all back, then they got to eat lunch finally after we had already eaten without them. I sort of felt bad, but anyway, and then it just started pouring. And so we were on this tiny little island, and every single campsite that we had passed coming to that island, all the campsites had been full, and it was just pouring, and we needed to, like, regroup. So we started, like, hiking up this island. There's, like, no trails, so we're climbing over trees and stuff. And then, so my pack was really heavy because I had lots of stuff in it. Like, the first day, I couldn't even pick it up by myself. And so then I just, like, fall over, and I roll my ankle because it really hurt. And then we got up to this top of this island, and it was still pouring. And so we take our tarps, and we tie them to random trees, and we make a little shelter. And then everybody faces outside of the tarp while, like, two people go in and change into dry clothes at one time. And so it took, like, an hour to everybody get in dry clothes. And then we're like, what are we going to do now? And so then it finally stopped raining, and we could make supper. And we decided that we're just going to go beg the next campsite to let us stay there, even if they're full.
Well, it sounds like our group has told a little bit of the disaster stories from Wednesday, which could have been way more disastrous. So I think one of my takeaways was a lot of things almost went really wrong, but Caroline did not break her ankle when she fell flat on her face on a rock. And Charlie, who got stung on the face by a hornet as we went to go find Ben and Mags, that's pulling up to the shore, that didn't turn into a big puffed up allergy, even though he brought an EpiPen and was allergic to them, we thought. Ian did not really get poisoning. Only mild poisoning, as our guide joked. And later, when we got, some point in the trip, I opened up my bag and I had a box of matches, this exact kind. Half of them were charred, but never ignited, because I think they were in a Ziploc and had no oxygen. But I don't even know at what point that happened. Could have caught everybody else's stuff on fire. I don't know if that was when they were in the car top carrier on the trip there. Anyways, a lot of things could have gone really wrong. And in all seriousness, I had a moment Wednesday night when I realized that the prayer group, who had sent us all cards, met right at the time and was praying for our group when all this stuff happened on Wednesday. And that was kind of a profound moment for me. I've talked to Bertha about it a little bit. So thank you for your presence and your thoughts. If you haven't heard, there was actually a fatality on two fatalities on one of the lakes that our group was on this past week. So we think it's all kind of funny, haha, but a lot of things can happen out there, and we think about those folks. I also had a really great memory the first night when we were at base camp making prayer flags, which you'll see displayed up front, and we were in a yurt at Wilderness Wind Base Camp, and it was starting to rain, and there was lightning, and we're all painting silently on the floor, and that was just really cool. And then we made a group. Both groups had a group flag, so that went with us as well. And then we left that group flag there for them to think of our group after we were gone. So that was great. And overall, I think had some full circle moments coming back, which maybe Deanna will share about too, but I was inspired to do MYF co-coordinating because of Luke and Rachel and the video that Mia made a few years ago from Wilderness Wind. So just to get inspired to help with MYF because of the Wilderness Wind trip and then get to go on it with these guys was pretty awesome. So feels like it's been a full circle. Lots of other things to share, just lots of beauty out there, seeing loons pop up right next to your canoe and dive down, eagles galore, sunset, lots of great laughs and bad jokes and bad puns, right, Charlie? So it was a wonderful time.
Pretty sure everyone has said everything that I was going to say, but I will say that it was an honor to be in John, Ben, Caroline, Ian, Mag's group. And Elena, that's right. And it was a blast. And yeah.
Yeah, one of the perks of my job is getting to go on this trip. That was really a wonderful, wonderful experience. An experience of sometimes enjoying the beauty, but also taking on the challenges of nature. There were some challenges along the way, and experiencing that together as a group. Probably the low point was getting more mosquito bites than fish bites. Some of us had hoped to catch some fish. Some of us didn't. But it was really a joy to be able to be in an environment without distraction and to be able to enjoy working together and playing together and laughing together and having meaningful conversation together throughout as it felt like emerging. So it was a really a good week. And we have a really quality group of people here.
I was back there clicking the pictures, so I wanted to share a little bit, too. John mentioned the prayer flags that we did, and you'll see those displayed here. We put those on our packs to help distinguish them from each other, but also as a reminder that we were going with a lot of prayers. And that was very meaningful for us, especially as the two groups got together and started sharing some of our experiences. We didn't see each other from Tuesday morning till we went on the water until Saturday noon or afternoon when we all got back to base camp. So just to hear the different stories of what had been experienced was really interesting and profound. Another comment about the pictures, Dawn and I both had cameras, and we were in the same group. So you will see mostly pictures from the Island Poppers group, and not as many from the Moose Tracks group, because they were without a camera. So several of the sketches and pictures are from their journals. But their experience will have to live in memory, in their memories. Something else I wanted to share, our group, I felt like our group kind of got off to a rough start. Our very first portage we were looking for, we couldn't find. Usually the portages are pretty well marked and pretty well distinguished because they're used fairly regularly. So we found this little dot on the map in this cove, and we were looking for it. And we were like, well, we got a lot of rain last night. Maybe it's like underwater, which is really unusual. So Simon and Josh, being the troopers that they were, decided, well, I'll jump out of the boat and see if I can find this portage. Well, soon they were up to their waists in muck and had pretty much decided this is not the portage at all. And got back in the canoe. We're like, well, maybe it's around here somewhere. So we ended up going back up the cove a little bit more and found that what we thought was a campsite up the shore a little bit was actually the portage. And what we thought was a tent was actually someone's gear that they had left there as they were doing the portage. So then we did this portage, which ended up being the worst portage of the trip for us. It was very up and down and rocky and mosquito-y, and our packs were the heaviest since we were carrying all of our food. And I got to the end, and I'm like, wow, if this is what our Wilderness Wind experience is like, we are in for quite the week. It did get better from there. Part of my experience of Wilderness Wind, too, was hearing so much about Wilderness Wind of friends of mine who have gone or people from this congregation who have gone, but I had never experienced it myself other than a day trip into the Boundary Waters. So to fully immerse myself into, as Dawn described, a week of no distractions, setting aside technology, your phone, your work, and just paying attention to what is in front of you. What needs to be done today? How far do we need to canoe? Paying attention to the weather, to the clouds, to the rain, to the sunshine, to sunscreen, to bug spray. That was very, very, very helpful for me to step aside from all that can distract us and pay attention to what's going on around us and just being surrounded by God in nature, but especially in the people that we were surrounded with. And just the opportunity to spend a week with the youth group that we usually see on Sunday mornings or sometimes on Sunday evenings or other activities, to be immersed together for a week. You really get to know each other really well. As preparation for this trip, John and I gave each of the youth a journal and asked them to do journaling as much as they wanted to. Some used it, some did not. We gave them some guiding questions, which you might have heard them share a little bit about from, how do you enter the wilderness? What do you bring with you? So what, we all are coming from spaces of busyness, of preparing for college, preparing for high school, preparing for work. What do we take with us into the wilderness? And what are we expecting from this trip? Was it what we expected? What is surprising us? How are we encountering God? If so, how and where is that happening? What are you experiencing? What are the highs and lows? And you heard several of those experiences. And then returning, how do you leave the wilderness? What do you bring back with you? And we bring stories and memories and some pictures, but also just a remembrance of our time in the presence of God, for me at least, in a profound way in nature. And our theme verse is what Ian read, Isaiah 43:18-19, which we also wrote in the journals. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness. I wanted to end with a quote I found in a devotional book called Seeking the Wilderness, which was actually written by the first director of Wilderness Wind Camp about 25 years ago, which I was reading pieces of in preparation for this trip with the goal of getting it all read before I left, which did not happen. But I found this in the introduction, which I thought was really helpful as kind of a reminder of our coming back. How do we leave the wilderness, and how do we take this experience with us? Breath of God, stirring the lake's surface and bending the stems of birch trees, breathe into my memory, so that I will not forget this place and this time.